You don't beat him, Malcolm.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm spending my time with this person, I cannot do what he asked me to do.
All right.
I had to do what he asked me to do.
Yes, sir.
So that's why I'm going to take us to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles.
All right. Yes, Lord.
Chapter 20.
Jesus.
2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We're going to shine a sermonic spotlight.
All right.
From verses 1 through 17. There's a brother named Jehoshaphat in here.
Yes.
And he got a lesson for us. I know it's an old scripture, y'all know about it. But there's some fresh warning his own way. God is so good, y'all.
So good.
If you really try to get serious about it, don't play with God. It's best just not to do nothing with him. Don't play with him.
Yes.
God said, I'm not fractioned out. When I come to you, I give you all of me. God said, you can't ride the fence with me. I need all of you or none of you. He said, I would hate for you. Matter of fact, if you look warm, he said, you make me want to puke. Regurgitate you. I would rather you just be cold at heart. But don't come to me lukewarm. That aggravates me. Let us pray on this word. Oh, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I thank you right now for your growth, your maturity, how you matriculate us and maturing in you. We thank you for these people in this church, oh God. Crown their heads with wisdom and knowledge. Make your word great enough so that a child can understand. Father God, anoint every seat and mind in this place. Let your word stir up what's on the inside of us. Father God, let it go and root itself deep in our lives. And if we need to be uncomfortable, Father God, let it make us uncomfortable. If we need to be encouraged, let it encourage us. Do what you want with us through your word. You said that your word would not return unto you void. So right now, in the mighty and majestic name of your son called Jesus, I ask, oh Father God, that you give me preaching power right now. I'm unable to do this by myself. Matter of fact, I have nothing without you. So Father God, I'm going to physically sit myself down and allow you to stand up. Allow them to see you and you crucified. Father God, right now, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word and knowledge away from your people. Father God, we ask you right now for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Take us up into the third heaven right now and show us things that you only want us to know.
Yes.
We thank you.
Thank
we claim the victory right now. Speak, Lord, for your people here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. I'm going to read from you today from the King James Version. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Suddenly they was on one accord, y'all. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah. That's in the church, y'all. And Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? I like telling God about himself. Let him know we know what he can do, y'all. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gives it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary, God, therein for the name, for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand. stand before this house
yes.
and in thy presence. Mm-hmm. For thy name is in this house.
Yes.
Have mercy, Lord.
Yes.
And cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help.
Yes.
God is a prayer answering God.
Yes.
And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Zeeb, you can pronounce it Zaire, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Mm. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us.
Yes.
Neither know we what to do. Don't know what to do.
Mm.
But our eyes are upon thee.
All right.
And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children.
Yes.
Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah,
yes.
the son of Jehiel,
mm-hmm.
the son of Mananiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the church.
Uh-huh.
And he said, hearken. This is Jehaziel talking to the king now.
Mm-hmm.
King Jehoshaphat. He said, hearken ye all Judah,
mm-hmm.
and you inhabitants of Jerusalem,
yeah. Yeah.
and thou King Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
Thus said the Lord,
Lord.
Unto you,
all right.
Be not afraid,
yes.
nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude.
Mm-hmm.
For the battle is not yours, but God's.
All right.
Have mercy. Tomorrow, go ye down against them.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook,
mm-hmm.
before the wilderness of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Ye shall not need to fight in this battle.
Ye
shall not need to fight in this battle.
Yes,
set yourselves, stand ye still,
yes,
and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Alright.
Let me read, let me pull my text from the 8th clause of verse 17 so we can hang our hats on it here. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle.
Alright.
Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation
of
the Lord. I put a tag on this text, the preaching, teaching you're hearing. Sometimes you just have to stand still.
Alright.
Impress the Lord. Sometimes you just got to stand still.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Sometimes you just have to stand still.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Hello.
One of the greatest misconceptions, deceptions, and fraudulent claims of contemporary Christianity is posited by those who mount pulpits with microphones and would lead you to believe that walking with God is easy.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who would teach and preach that with the right amount of faith, with the specific prayer, and with a miracle offering sown in the right soil,
mm-hmm.
that somehow
That's true. You
will be get granted shelter and immunity from the difficult days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of life. But there are some seasoned saints in here who have been with God long enough to testify
All right. That
every day with God is not always hallelujah
Amen.
And thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I understand why it is such a cancer in contemporary Christianity, because one would believe that the longer you've been with God, y'all with me?
Yeah.
The more you pray.
Yes.
The more consecutive Sundays you come to church, the more ministries you join,
yes.
the more offerings you give,
yes.
that somehow your life should be granted some smooth sailing.
Right. Yeah.
I know you don't want to hear this, but you would rather me give you some prophetic promise that everything is going to be all right.
Yeah.
All right.
I want you to know, as you mature in the Lord,
yes,
you're going to find the longer you are with God, the more you sense and see God calling you to assignments and ways of living that are neither comfortable nor convenient. That God has a way of growing you through painful predicaments. I remember when I was a young boy at night, I would complain to mommy about the constant pains in my knees. She would say, son, you're just going through some growing pains. It was hard for me to understand how pain could lead to some growth. When you are about 12 years in maturity in God, you will have a hard time understanding how a loving, omnipotent, and gracious God can declare that sometimes the only way he can grow you is to release you into a painful scenario and situation that ultimately groom you and grow you for his grace and his glory.
All right.
I knew it would get quiet here around here, so I brought some side scriptures, Deacon Furlow.
Yes,
the Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy.
Yes.
When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Can I get a witness in here? And let patience have its perfect and complete work, that when it is done, you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James understood that every now and then, the way God grooms you and the way God grows you is to release you into situations and scenarios that don't always feel good. Are you with me, church? I want you to know, whenever you are in a struggle of life, you are also in God's classroom. God is trying to teach you something. You are struggling financially because God is trying to teach you stewardship with his money. And you're struggling with offense and heartache because you are in the class on forgiveness and not living in yesterday. You're struggling with sickness because you're in the class of Jehovah Rapha, who wants to teach you and I am the healer of all your diseases. I don't know what class you're in today, y'all. I don't know what lesson you're going through. I don't know what test you are taking.
All right.
But I come to tell you, one of the most difficult classes that all of us have to sit through in our walk with God is the part of the core curriculum for Christianity. Watch this, Deacon Lennon. It's a class called Stand Still. If you have not gotten there yet, if you have not gotten there yet, life will bring you to a place where you are, when you hear the command of God, in spite of everything you want to do, the word of the Lord to you is, stand still. That's the class Job was in as he struggled, and Eli told him, stand still. That's the class Joshua was in, and they crossed over the Jordan River, and God said to them, stand still. That's the class Moses was in as he stood at the bank at the Red Sea with no way in front of him and Pharaoh closing up from behind. And the word of the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you have never been in that class where you have to learn to stand still, I want you to see this brother. His name was Jehoshaphat. He is the king of Israel. In chapter 20, of 2 Chronicles, we find out that a battle is about to ensue, and Israel has got to go to war. Now, this is nothing new for Israel. They have been in battles before. But there's something peculiar, Deacon Furlow, about this battle. The Bible says Jehoshaphat finds out that the Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites, who have hooked up with the people from Mount Zion, who are also called the Edomites. Don't miss this now. It is not just one enemy. The Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites, who are hanging out with the Edomites, and they're all coming together against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat is fearful. We have fought battles, but we have never had a battle like this, the king said. We have never seen an enemy of this multitude and this magnitude. We have never seen a coming together of enemies against us like this. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat doesn't know what to do. And when he has got, when the king has got more questions than answers, when there's no military strategy, when there seems to be no way to deal with it, here's what Jehoshaphat does. Watch the brother now. He calls all of Israel together, proclaims a spiritual fast, and says, let us seek the face of the Lord.
All right. Yeah.
Let me pause right here. Can I preach right here?
Go ahead.
I'm going to hang up right here. When you don't know what to do, if you know how to bow and call on the name of the Lord, that's a mighty good strategy for any battle.
Yes, sir.
I wish I had a prayer warrior in here that knows there were some moments you had more questions than you had answers. But as long as you trusted in the Lord and called on the Lord, we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. Jehoshaphat prays and God showed up answers. God speaks back to Jehoshaphat through a brother by the name of Jehaziel in the church. Jehaziel comes to Jehoshaphat and says, hey, listen, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Here's the good news, Jehoshaphat. You don't have to fight this battle.
All right.
You don't have to break a sweat. You don't have to worry about anything. Because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's.
All right.
Now, you got quiet because you thought that was some good news for Jehoshaphat, but that is great news for you.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
It is a prophetic promise that we serve a God who's able to step into every battlefield you are on, handle the enemies that are coming against you.
Yes, sir.
I feel like preaching right about you.
There's
a God who handles your enemies. There's a God who fights your battle. There's a God who makes ways out of no way for you. There's a God who makes certain you just sit back and enjoy the show. Let God just do what God does. He's a battle-fighting kind of God. That's some mighty good news. He will fight your battle. The bad news is, check this out. Here's the bad news. God tells Jehoshaphat through Jehaziel, I will fight your battle. But there's some bad news. You have to stand still. Oh, we got to go to class now. If you want me to handle this, you have to stand still. Can I go to the Hebrew for you?
Yes, sir.
The Hebrew is that word, stand still. Phrase in the Hebrew means stop moving.
Stand still.
Stop moving. Don't do anything. Don't respond. Woo! Don't put your hand on it. Woo! Don't try to fight it yourself. Woo! Just stand still. Hold up, God. I struggled this last night. God, you mean to tell me I got enemies circling me?
All
right. You want me to stand still?
Watch out, Brent.
When folk are acting foolish, you want me to stand still?
Yes, sir.
I know you're holding it in me. You want me to just stand still? It's hard to stand still when false accusations are being raised against you. It's hard to stand still when lying lips are talking. It's hard to stand still when enemies are plotting your demise and your destruction. It's hard to stand still when people are manipulating and dealing in the dirt. It's hard to stand still when you got crazy co-workers, a satanic supervisor. Kinfolk who you rather slap just because of the principle of it.
Tell me about family. Oh my God.
See, you're a holy. You want me to be holy. Guess what? Guess what? Sister Farrell, I'm usually real holy until Sunday morning.
Yes,
sir. I like to fight back.
Yes.
When people are causing me problems.
Yes.
I would like to take you outside the sanctuary, say what I want to say to you. I'm not going to say to you what I want to say to you on holy ground.
Yeah.
Don't let this pastor try to fool you. I know some words that ain't in the Bible.
Come on, preacher. Yes, sir.
What you say? The devil will take you there.
Yeah, he will.
The devil will try your faith.
Yeah, he will.
You got to remember whose you are and what you are.
Amen.
And yet the command of God is, if you want me to fight, you need to learn to stand still. What does God mean when he says stand still? What does he mean? Well, if you dig into what God says to Jehoshaphat, I will suggest to you that there are at least four things that come out of the commandment to stand still.
All right.
You can't pass the teach like God
does. Yeah.
First thing, when God says stand still, number one is God says stand still because I want you to endure the evil of your enemies. I want you to endure the evil of your enemies. I want you to see them do the evilest thing they can and you not respond. I want you to let them plot, plan, manipulate, deceive, lie, run their mouth. And in the midst of all that, I want you to stand still. I knew it'd get quiet. And here, no, check this out. This is what happens about. I want you to see this. The Bible says the Moabites have hooked up with the Ammonites, who have hooked up with the Edomites. The reason that is important is, check this out, y'all. Ammonites don't even like Moabites.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
And Moabites can't stand the Edomites.
Yeah.
And the Edomites not feeling the Ammonites. None of them like each other. You know how evil you got to be. You know how evil you got to be to hook up with other folk that you don't like just because the two of you don't like somebody else even more. And Jehoshaphat has to watch the evil of enemies who don't like each other hooking up together. And the word of the Lord to Jehoshaphat is, don't worry about them. Let them hook up. Don't sweat it. Let them threaten you. Don't worry about it. Don't count up their numbers. Don't be afraid. Let them do what they are doing, going to do. And you still stand still. Oh boy, that's a word for somebody in the church today. Because you know the command of the Lord is that you see evil around you. You see people lying. You see folk not doing right. You know they are in the dirt. And yet the Lord's commandment to you is stand still. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. Just let them do what they are going to do. Let them lie. Let them plot. Let them plan. Let them deceive. Let them manipulate. Let them do whatever they are going to do. And you don't address it.
Wow.
Stand still.
Wow.
That's deep.
Are you preaching this?
That's deep, preacher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's deep.
I know you're saying right now, why do I have to do that, Pastor? You have to persuade me a little bit more. that's the right thing to do. Here's the reason the Lord tells Jehoshaphat to do it. Let's see. Here we go. Here's the thing he tells him to do. Let's see y'all catch this. What the Lord is telling Jehoshaphat, look, listen. Even though the Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites and they have the Edomites, don't matter who else they hook up with, I'm on your side.
Right.
That's all you need.
I'm saying, y'all ain't getting that. Who can stand against us? He can take what was meant for your evil and bring it together for your good. I wish I had a Bible reading in the church. Fret not yourself over evil dudes, leaving me thou enemies of the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like grass and wither like the green herb. Oh, the Bible says the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You don't need to be afraid if God is on your side. Listen, this is deep. Check this out. The reason I don't want you to be afraid is I'm on your side, and whatever they do, they can't beat me. Woo! Woo!
So you don't have to be afraid.
The Lord said their allegiances that are foolish because they can't beat me. Hear me, beloved. Hear me, church, beloved. Evil is mean, but it is never smart. Evil is wicked, but it's never wise. Evil always has a flawed strategy. Evil always has some inconsistency. So the Lord says, I want you to stand still. Because you can't out evil. But you can't outthink it. You can't out ugly. But you can be smarter. And if you stand still, evil will always reveal its foolishness. Evil will always reveal where the hole is in its thinking. If you stand still, the Lord has a way of revealing to you the flaw of the strategy of those that are trying to destroy you. And you can thank God he is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God says, just endure that evil. Stand still. Say, well, not only do I want you to endure the evil of your enemy, but secondly, watch me now, the stand still means resist your reflux to revenge. Resist the reflux for revenge. I know your instinct is to get even. Lord said, I want you to resist your natural instinct for revenge. Let me tell you what is problematic about these enemies that are coming against Jehoshaphat. The problem with Moab, Ammon, and Edom coming against Jehoshaphat is this. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and began their conquer of the promised land, these are the same people that the Lord says, don't destroy them. Israel could have destroyed Moab, could have destroyed Ammon, and could have destroyed the Edomites. But the Lord told them not to. So Jehoshaphat is wondering, we spared you when we could have killed you. And now you are repaying us by coming together? Sound like some black folk to me. Okay, I have equal opportunity. You come together to take from us what we should have that God gave when we was nothing. When we was nothing but kind to you. Beloved, it's one thing when you know why folk hate you. It's another one when you have been nothing but kind, loving, and compassionate. And as you can yet, they still speak against you and try to destroy you.
Yes, Lord.
I don't care how holy you are on Sunday. When people pay your kindness with revenge and seek to destroy you, you want to get even.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord says, stand still.
Woo!
Because when revenge, watch me, listen, check this out. Because when revenge is your motivation, God is no longer your inspiration.
Lord help us.
Because revenge reveals your lack of faith in God. When you are operating in revenge, you're not operating in faith. Faith says, whatever you do to me, got a God who sees and knows.
That's it.
I got a God who will handle this in his own way.
All
right. I have a God who will bless me in spite of what you have done to me.
All right.
I got a God who will handle the folk who are trying to handle me.
Yes, sir.
Which is why he says, vengeance is mine. Lord says, I want you to resist the reflex for revenge. Because even though you are spiritual, I know you, and you want to get even. See, the problem with us church folk in Christianity, because we go to church, we try to put some scripture on it, Deacon Furlow. Do unto others as they do unto you.
Yes, sir. We're quoted, Pastor.
Yes, sir. The Lord says, hey,
yes, sir.
Endure the evil of your enemies.
Yes. My Lord.
He says, resist the reflex for revenge.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Watch the third one. The third one is, God say, I want you to stand still because I want you to stand. Sister Jenkins, in a sanctified place. I want you to stand.
Yes.
Number three, in a sanctified place. Yes.
Alright.
Watch what goes down. Jehaziel tells Jehoshaphat, if you want to see God fight, you have to stand right here. You can't stand over there because that is not where God called you to stand.
Okay.
The Lord says, stand here if you want me to fight your battle. Because the command of the Lord is, I want to know, will you be obedient when others are being evil? That's a real word, because the devil convinces you when someone has been evil that you can adopt a Malcolm X philosophy by saying any means necessary. And that God has ordained you to do whatever you want to do. God ordained you to just do what you want to do. The Lord said, even when people have done you wrong, I need you to stand right here. I need you to stand in love when they are operating in hate. I need you to stand in compassion when they are acting and operating in ugly. I need you to stand in truth when they are operating in lies. I need you to stand in righteousness when they are operating in ungodliness. I need you to stand in kindness when they are operating in ugly. If you don't stand when the Lord calls you to stand, you cannot see God fight this for you. If you stand in darkness,
yeah.
I know this would be hard to preach, but I got to preach it anyhow. God said, endure their evil.
Yes, sir.
Number two, he says, resist the reflex for revenge.
Yes, sir.
Number three, he says, stand in a sanctified place.
Yes, sir.
Finally, watch this last one, Sister Tom. I'm loving this one. You can get your shout on here, Deacon. The last one, Sister God said, prepare for the performance of God's promise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Prepare for the performances of God's promises.
Yes, sir.
Get yourself ready to see God move.
All right.
This is what Jehoshaphat said. Lord, we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen it like this. Never had it this rough.
Yes, sir.
Never had this many enemies.
Yes, sir.
But this much we know.
All right.
Our eyes.
Yes, sir.
Are on you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes my soul is so filled with despair. I don't know what to say, but Jesus, help me.
Yes,
in my worst situation, in my loneliest hour, I keep my eyes unto the hills from whence coming my help. My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He said, he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'll be a friend that's like a brother than a brother. My eyes on him. Yeah. manifested. God, because we believe that before this thing is over. Watch this, Reverend Lyle. Watch, Pastor. We got our eyes on God. Because before this thing is over.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
We know that the Lord is going to show up.
Yes.
And he will make a way out of nowhere.
All right.
Y'all got me. I gotta go secular on Trent. Let me go secular on y'all. So I can make it applicable and play. Let me help you out. Let me share the story with you. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was an awesome basketball team called the Chicago Bulls.
Yes, sir.
I know we're in Heat Country, I know that. But I need to use this team. To illustrate my irrefutable fact.
All right.
Not only was this team awesome, but it had a phenomenal basketball player.
Yes, it did.
By the name of MJ, Michael Jordan.
All right.
I feel that Michael Jordan probably is the greatest basketball player that has ever played the game.
All right.
Let me tell you how phenomenal Michael Jordan was. Jordan was such an awesome basketball player. Whenever he played and NBC aired his game, watch this, brother ABC. NBC changed their production protocol for airing the NBA games. Any other game, they had a certain number of cameras on the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But when Michael Jordan was on the floor, they hired an extra camera whose only job was to keep that camera on Michael Jordan at all times.
Yes, sir.
Even when Michael was on the bench and was not playing, the camera was on Michael Jordan. When the executive director of sports programming of NBC was asked, why you have a camera solely dedicated to Michael Jordan? This is what he said. Because he is so phenomenal. Y'all, I'm going somewhere.
Work with it, preacher.
That we know before the game is over, he's going to do something magical.
Yeah.
And we don't want to miss the magic of Michael Jordan. I came to tell y'all something up in here. If NBC can keep a camera on Michael Jordan, then surely you ought to be able to keep your eyes on the Lord. Presence now and fight your battle stayed there Friday night. Saturday night he went into hell, slapped Satan, took the sting out of death, got the heat keys to heaven and hell. And early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. All power. Walking power. Healing power. Delivering power. All power. Sometimes you just gotta stand still. God said, I got you. God said, I got y'all. This ain't no new lesson. Stand still. And watch the salvation of the Lord. May God bless and keep you. This is my prayer. Put your hands together.